Welcome to our weekly shiur, our Sefor Maaseh Shabbat stories. We're in the middle of story number 9, story of the Chacham V'Tam, the story of the sophisticated and the simpleton. So we began last week speaking about this line that says, "V'hinei behold, nashlich ka'et maaseh chacham." Now we're going to throw away the story of the Chacham, natchil lesaper maaseh chacham, and we begin to relate the story of the simpleton. Which means now it's time for us to try to throw away the us acting like the sophisticate. And we're going to try to start moving over and try acting more like the simpleton, more like the Tam. And now we're going to learn about the ways of the Tam. We're going to learn more about the ways of the simpleton. Hatamana, this simpleton, which we mentioned earlier, he learned how to be a shoemaker. He went to find a simple job, like we mentioned earlier. He found a job, a shoemaker. Because he was a simpleton. No, he was very simple. He learned it a lot. He had to sit and learn it again and again. It took a very long time for him until he was able to understand how to be a shoemaker. He was not an expert. Even after all his toil and working and trying, he still wasn't an expert in this, in being a shoemaker. But anyway, he married a woman. He ended up, he had a parnasa, whatever livelihood he had a livelihood from the malacha, from his work. Since he was so simple, he wasn't such an expert in being a shoemaker. His parnasa, his livelihood, was very tight. He didn't have money. Everything was very constricted. He had very little money. Not only didn't he have money, he didn't even have time to eat. He was so busy, and he needed to keep on working, or for him to make his little money at the end of the day, he had to keep on working. He had no time for a lunch break. If I take a lunch break, I'll never finish the shul. I'll never have enough money. So even the little money that he made, he didn't even have time to eat. He needed to constantly be working in order to make his meager livelihood. He wasn't a professional at his work. He wasn't a professional. While he was working, at the time she had no kev, when he would be making the hole with his instruments by machnis umotzia chut ha'av shaspia, he'd go in and out right with the needle, his thick needle that he was sewing the shoe with, kederach ratzanim, the way of the shoemaker. Az yanoshech chatichat lechad lechol. Then he would take a little bite while he was working. He would have no time to eat. He made such a meager livelihood, and he was so unprofessional. He had to work the whole day until he finally could make some type of shoe. So we see what happened over here. He has a very hard time understanding getting a good job. Understand. But he thinks, let me be a shoemaker. It's a pretty simple job. He said, let me do what Hashem said to me. It's a simple job. It's not the most honorable job. It's not degrading, but it's not. Let me try to be a shoemaker. Right? And he tried. He didn't give up. He tried working on and put effort. It wasn't easy for him to learn how to be a shoemaker. But he said, this is the job Hashem sent, this is what came his way. He worked and then toiled and toiled. He didn't give up just because it came hard. He worked very hard. And even when he finally finished learning, finished the shoemaker school, and he's working, even then, he barely has enough money. After all his lurking and learning and putting in effort, it's not even a major business. He's making very little money. To the fact that to the extent he doesn't even have time to eat. He's making so little money, he doesn't have time to stop and take a lunch break. He's working and working and working from morning to night. He's working all day. But still, even though he had all these hardships, which seem to be hardships, and a person should seem to be very depressed, right? Especially if we look at his friend, the Chacham, right? He could have been looking at his Chacham the whole time. Oh, I had a friend, we grew up together, we should be the same. We grew up, and look at my friend, he's so successful. and he's going, he's traveling around the world, and he already has 3 jobs, right? He already has a master's degree in 3 things. So you think he's doing great. He could have got very depressed, especially looking at his friend. He didn't look at his friend. He looked at himself. Rav Nosson says that sometimes the biggest yitzhara that takes us down is when we look at our friends, how good they're doing. So he says, it's a yitzhara of people we are, too much light. Rav Nosson talking about there's a yitzhara that knocks us down, too much light. Sometimes we are on our own, do too much, we go overboard. And sometimes by us seeing the light in someone else, we see the light in our friends, and then we feel broken. Why can't I be like that? Why can't I do what he's doing? And that's really a very big yitzhara. Like the time, he didn't look at his friend. If he would have looked at his friend, he would have became very depressed. His friend is successful, he's making money, he's traveling around the world. Me, I'm in my little city, barely have food to eat, right? Working hard, barely making money. But there is this Yadamuna, he had Hashem in his picture. And it's the opposite of what you would think. We would think the simpleton should be very depressed, he should be very sad, right? And the Chacham, he should be so happy, but we learned. The Chacham wasn't happy at all, he was very depressed, he had no one to talk to, he couldn't talk to anyone. He wasn't married, he was single, he never got married, he had no one to talk to. But on the other end, the Tam, who was so simple, he had every reason in the world to be depressed. If he wanted excuses to be depressed, he had all the reasons. He had no money, he couldn't think so, he wasn't so smart, he didn't have money. He had no vacation. The other guy's running around the world, the friend's running around the world, doing whatever he wanted. He sold even people in his own business, he wasn't good at his trade. The other people, they made much more money than him. Still, what does it say? What was his custom? He was always happy. Right, so Minah Gohaya, what was his custom? His custom, he always was very happy. Tamid v'simcha gdola me'od. He was always extremely happy. He wasn't just like a neutral, there's my lot in life, he's just going with it. He says, he constantly was very happy. Ve'erak ma'les simchatei. And Nagel says again, he makes sure we understand, he was only full of happiness. He wasn't sad at all. He was totally v'simcha all the time. So I think sometimes we're a little bit happy. And then sometimes, he was all the time very happy. That's a high level. And how is it possible he was always so happy? He was lacking so much. How could a person be happy if they're lacking so much? What does it say? He had all the foods, all the drinks, and all the clothing. Does it mean he really had? Of course, he didn't really have it. He didn't really have these things. But he was happy. And if he had all the greatest wealth and all the food and all the drinks and all the clothing. Why? Because this is what Hashem wants for me. For me, this is the best thing for me. That's what he thought. So for me, this is the most best food and the best drink and the best clothing. Because this is what Hashem knows is good for me right now. This, if Hashem says this is perfect for me, so I'm as happy as I'm eating the best foods. And for me, this is the best foods. And for me, this is the best drink now. For me, this is the best clothing. But for me, if this Hashem put me in this situation, for me, this is the best thing possible. And therefore, I should be happiest if I have all the things I dreamed I could have. Because this is the best. I dream of different things I could have. And I'll think, if I have those things, then I'll be happy. The Tav said, no, right now, this is the best situation. This is already the best situation. Now, Amar Lishto, he would say to his wife, Ishti, my wife, tell me lechol, give me to eat. She would do a priestly prayer. And he would eat it. Afterward, I might say, "Tell me how to make kidney. Give me the beans with the sauce." She would cut him another piece of bread, and he would eat another piece of bread. And Shabbat, by you would praise her and say, "Kama yafeh v'tov ma'od. How beautiful and good is harotav hazeh. This sauce." Which means he was happy. As if he had the best in the world, like he had the best life. Usually you find this concept by the man, right? In the Midbar, when the Jewish people, they ate the man, the Chazal say, you can have in one whatever you want it to taste like, and that's what it tasted like. That's what it tasted like. What does that mean? It seems like from here, he didn't really have all these different foods. But he was happy. This is what Hashem gave. It's like the man. This Hashem gave me. Hashem provided this for me. This is perfect. this is the best thing possible for me. So you could think it, you could, in your mind, you could imagine, this is ice, if I like ice cream, this is ice cream. Because this is the best thing Hashem wants for me, even though I think ice cream is the best for me. Hashem said, this is the best for me. So right now, this is like ice cream. She can give it meat, other good foods. And for every food he would ask for, she would give him another piece of bread, another slice of bread. Where with that, he would have so much pleasure. He would praise a lot that food. Say how good it is. If he was eating that food. Every time he ate food, it's as if he was eating that food that he asked for. And he wasn't crazy. It wasn't just like he was playing games with his wife. He wasn't just telling him stories, oh, this tastes great. And we said the truth is, he actually felt, when he ate the bread, the taste of the food that he wanted. He actually tasted it. Because he was so simple, and he was so happy. When a person is so simple and so happy, then everything is good. And really, what's a piece of meat? A lot of it's in the mind that you have a piece of meat. It's in your head that now you're eating a piece of meat. Even before you start eating, you already start having salivating for it. So in our heads. So in his head, he's so simple. He just put it in his head. He said, let's say I want meat now. I'll put it in my head that this thing is like meat. And he put it in his mind. And he ate it. Because it's all imagination anyway. The whole food tastes like this. All the types are imagination anyway. So he put it in his mind. It's like this thing. And then now he felt like he needed meat now, so he had in mind that he tastes like meat. Yeah, but now he tastes like meat. He tasted it because he was so simple and so happy. Then he also with drinks. Tell her, Ishti, tell me, Sheikha, give me beer. Give me beer to drink. She would give him water. And he would praise it and say, oh, such good beer. How good this beer is. He said, give me honey. And she would give him water. He said, wow. Also, he would praise it. He said, give me wine. And the like, every time she would give him water, he would enjoy it and praise it as if he was drinking that drink that he asked for, exactly that drink. Also with clothing, him and his wife owned one coat. And one coat, they shared it. And he would tell his wife, give me a pelt. When he needed to wear a pelt, he wanted to go out to the market. He wanted to wear a nice overcoat to go out to the market. She would give it to him. And when he had to wear a tulip to go among people, who else does that? My wife gave me my tulip, she would give him his pelts. I would give him the same original garment and he would be so happy with it. How beautiful his tulip is. When you need like a kaftan, a different type of garment, to go to shul, he would say, my wife could bring me my kaftan. She would give him his pelts and he would be happy, he would praise him, how beautiful it is. Also, you'd have to wear a yupa, a different type of cloak. She would always give him the pelts, he would praise it, how beautiful his yupa is. And he was only full of simcha and chedva always. Always full of simcha, extra joy. Always extremely, extremely joyous. Now, getting back to his shoemaker trade, when he would finish the shoe, and usually it would have three corners, what it looked like a normal shoe, it would be like a pretty odd-shaped shoe, because he wasn't such a professional. He would take the shoe and he would praise it, and he would be so happy with it. He would say, my wife, how beautiful is this shoe? How sweet is this shoe? What a shoe of sugar and honey. And you would ask him, if so, why do all other shoemakers take 3 gold coins for a pair of shoes? And you take a half a taler, which is 1.5 gold coins. Why do you get a half price? Why do you pay half price for your shoes? So he said, he answered the following, which is the rule we have to remember. Who cares? This is my son. Zeh ma'aseh shelo. Zeh ma'aseh shuli. This is his action. This is my action. So first of all, he's telling her, why are you comparing to other people? Why, like we said earlier, why are we comparing to other people? Everybody has their own, everybody's different. Chazal say, just like everyone's face looks different, also their deus and their understandings is different. And the way they think is different. And their makeup is different. Right? Every person is different. There's no two people the same. So why should I compare? He told his wife, why should I compare to people? This is my maisa. That's his maisa. Right? This is my life. This is the ability that Hashem gave me. So I'm happy with Hashem gave me. But everybody else, you compare me to other people. That's the mistake. That's what we fool. We start looking at other people. We think we have to compare ourselves to them. Then we get broken. Oh, I'm not like them. It's a mistake. Everybody's different. This is my ma'aseh. This is my action. This is how I have to serve Hashem. That's how he has to serve Hashem. So Hashem gave him certain qualities. Good. Hashem gave me certain qualities. Good. But why comparing to other people? The first thing is, don't compare. We compare ourselves to other people to get down. We can learn from other people who want to get chizik, to try to work on ourselves, to try to grow. Not to compare ourselves. Someone else is doing something. We don't have to beat ourselves up and say, no, what I can't do, it must be I'm bad. It must be something's wrong with me. It's what Hashem wants. You see, it's amazing. He was so happy. He had so much struggle in life. He had a hard life. That's simple thing. It wasn't an easy life. Struggling from parnasah. He could have been very self-conscious, not even selling shoes at all. Imagine trying to sell a shoe, go to the shoe store, try to sell a shoe, three quarters. No one's going to buy your shoe. He went. He wasn't embarrassed. He went even in public. Sometimes we have to go public. This is what I do. This is what I am. This is mine. So you did different. Fine. This is my action. That's your action. This is what I have to do. This is the ability that Hashem gave me. Even if it sometimes comes out into the public. Fine. It's not only stays internal. Fine. So this is what I have to do. This is for my brothers Hashem. For my service to Hashem, this is what I have to do. This is my action. That's your action. Oh, then also, he said, why would you talk about other people? So you're making another big mistake. By talking about other people, you're making yourself problems. Say, don't talk. You have nothing to talk about other people for. Don't talk about them. What do you need to talk about? Other people make money. Fine, I said, they make money. There's no purpose. What do you need to talk about other people for? You don't talk about other people, there's no purpose. Say, so they make 3 gold coins, I make 1.5. Very nice. What do you have to talk about the people for? He said, let's look, instead of looking at what everybody else has, look at what I have. A lot of times the Saharas makes us look what everyone else has. We forget what we have. We're so busy looking at what everyone else has, if we look down for a minute, we'll be happy. Instead of looking at everybody else's suit, we look down, we'll be like, oh, I also have a nice suit. I also have a shirt. I should also be happy. Right? If we look down a little bit into ourselves, we also have qualities. Instead of looking at other people, oh, they have this, and he has that, and he has this quality, and this person has that. That's all Yitzhar. Because what's the whole point? His point is to distract us from what we have. He doesn't want us to see what we have. And now, the simpleton starts telling his wife, look how much I could get. Instead of looking how much they have, that's their business. Let me look at my good points. Let me look at what I have. Not look at the other people, what they have. I don't gain anything. Look at what they have. I just get depressed and down. I don't have that. Let me look what I have. Let me look at the quality that Hashem gave me. The ability that Hashem gave me. Or whatever Hashem gave me. So let me see how much profit I make. Clear profit on this shoe. He said he made a cheshbon. He said that the leather is this amount. And the tar and the laces and the strings. So he's saying, and this and this. Everything costs different amounts of money. So look, all together I make a sarah gedolim. Certain amounts of money. So he's saying, look, that's how much clear profit I make. And therefore, and he was always full of simcha. We keep on reiterating, he was only full of simcha. He was full of happiness always. The person we think has every excuse to be the most down and pitiful person, right? He's not successful. He's not so smart. He can't make money. He barely makes money. He's not even good at his own job that he's officially his main job. He's not even good at, right? But he was just happy. He was looking at his good points. He looked and look how much I do gain. Not how much I don't gain. How much everybody else gains. That can help me how much everybody else is growing right now. Right? How much they're growing. So what? But that's not me. I have to look at my good points. Look at my good points. Over here, I have a good point. I try to daven over here. I try to put on tefillin. I try to learn a little bit. I have my good points. So look how much I gain after the Yitzhara tries to make me create. The Yitzhara doesn't want to do any mitzvahs. He wants to do all of theirs. So whatever I can gain, very good. I gain a little bit over here, a little bit over there. That's clear profit. Every time we overcome the Yitzhara, that's it. We're taking it for us forever. We keep it forever. So our job is to be like the Tani. How is he always so happy? He looked at his good points. And really, that's the only way to do tshuva. The only way we're going to do tshuva is only by looking at our good points. Not by putting ourselves down. Not by looking at how other people are doing and we're not doing. Not by really pressuring ourselves. Our service of Hashem can't come from a point of negativity. If we're looking at how much they do and we're jealous and we're broken from it, and then we want to work from there, it's not going to work. When we work a little bit, we say, I can't do it. Forget about it. But if we go from the good point, our drive is to be coming from a positive point. Look how much Hashem helps me. I'm already doing. Look how much I'm already doing. I already have this good point, that good point. Every time I overcame the Tzara, it's clear profit. Right? I have other people doing more than me. Fine, so they're doing more than me. What does it do with me? Every time I try to dive in a little more, put more a little... few more minutes of learning, a few more minutes of good midas and helping other people, right? A few more times Shmiras Einayim, guarding my eyes. Every time it's clear profit. If other people are much better, okay, but I'm trying. I mean, the Davat Hashem to become better. But the only way to do tshuva is to look at our good points. Like it says in Torah Reish Pei Beis, right? Likutei Moran, right? 282, right? Lesson 282. That the way to do tshuva is by looking at our good points. And that's how, when we look at our good points, and then that makes us happy, then we could build from there. Especially if it's tefillah. I'm not saying that the way to downward concentration is to first focus on our good points. You give tzedakah also to bring out that point, to bring out our good points before we daven. But the way, before we start davening, we want to be able to daven properly, whether it's the regular tefillahs, or it's our own personal tefillahs. The way to start is by thanking Hashem and looking at our good points, looking at Hashem's good points, so to speak. Looking at what Hashem did good for me, not coming negative. Look at all the good Hashem did for me. Look at Hashem, all the good Hashem does for me. And then we look at the good. Well, look at I'm trying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Yes, there's a lot of struggles. It's a rough war. But look at all my good points. I did this good, I did that good. So then, we'll be able to be happy. Like the Tom, like the simpleton, he was happy. Right? He wasn't sophisticated. Yeah, but I should be doing much more. I'm supposed to be perfect. And my friends are doing more. I'm coming out with all these chashbainas. He's very simple. Don't look at anybody else, nothing else. I'm going with simple amuna. This is what Hashem gave me. These are qualities Hashem gave me. And I'm trying. And if I get a good points, fine. And how is it possible to be happy with good points? If we realize we deserve nothing, then every good point is something. Like, if someone says, big deal, you finished a small masechta, right? Someone says, okay, your large masechta is makos. So big deal, it's a small masechta, so you finished it. Right? So, there's a someone came over to me, he told me, you know what, you learned masechta is makos. But it's a small masechta. So, it depends. If a person thinks they're so big, it's true. To do small things in service of Hashem is very small because I'm so big, I'm so great. So for me, I can't be happy. I'm so great. So it's nothing. So we can't be happy with good points. But if I realize, and the more I realize that I'm so small, I deserve nothing. So then every mitzvah is very big. So I don't deserve to do any mitzvah. So if you think I'm so great, so you're right. You do small things. If I'm so great at small things, if I say, yeah, I have a good point, fine. So you say, it doesn't make you happy. But if I realize, no, I'm very small. And I realize I'm very small. So then every good point is very big. Hashem helped me put on tefillin today. I deserve to put on tefillin today. To put on Hashem's crown. It's Hashem's crown, the king of all kings. The Melech Malchei Amlachim, he wears a crown. I wear that crown. I wear a crown that looks like his crown. I wear a kisra d'malach. I wear tefillin. And that's how I make him great. And I have the merit to make the Melech Malchei Amlachim's name great. I wear the crown of the king. Right? So something to be happy about. Why do I deserve it? I put on talis, I put on tefillin. I'm able to say Shema, make Hashem's name, glorify Hashem's kingdom in this world. That's the whole purpose of this world. The whole world is in order to bring Hashem's glory into this world, to make Hashem's name revealed into this world. Right? To connect, right? Yichud kud shubrichoy with the Shechina. Which means I want to try to lift Hashem's name in this world. I want to make a kiddush Hashem. So, every drop of Yotu then, it's huge. Melech Malchei Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's king of all kings. Every drop of service of Hashem I'm able to do, I'm able to glorify His name, make His name revealed. That's huge. If I feel, oh, I'm so big, so, and I forget how big Hashem is, you're right, every good point is very small. I can't be happy. But we see over here, he was looking at other people. He said, look what I could do. Look what I'm doing. Look what Hashem helps me do. I don't deserve anything. And then we can all be happy. And that's how we'll be able to daven. Because a lot of times during davening, we can't daven because this hell comes to us, we're bad, and this is wrong, and that's wrong. We're thinking about all our lackings. The whole davening, we're thinking about our lackings. I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that, I need to do this, I need to do that. But if we really, before we start davening, I'm not lacking. I have a lot of lackings on one hand. On the other hand, I'm very rich, I'm very wealthy. I put on talis and tefillin. I try to keep Shabbos. I try to do mitzvahs. I try to learn Torah. I try to daven. So if we go on with that mode, then we could daven, because then we're coming in uplifted. That's what Rav Nosson says, that's as possible to daven. So before we start davening, we have to focus on our good points. Before we start davening, so that's what to do. It's easy, you start thanking Hashem with a good point. Even before regular davening, to try to take a minute, try to take something, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, to think about where Hashem helped me do a mitzvah. Hashem helps, where? Hashem's giving me talis and tefillin, and I put on the tefillin. Hashem's giving me the opportunity to daven in front of him, I'm so lucky. Hashem giving me the opportunity to learn a little bit of Torah today. Then we'll be able to daven. Then we can act like the Tam And then we could be Mali Simcha for Chedra Tam. Right? We all want to be happy. We all wish we could have a button that could push us to be happy. Right? The way to be happy is not so easy. It's not a button. We can try and be happy by trying to focus on our good points. Because that will help us in leading us to being happy. So, continuing the story, it says that the simpleton was really, he was a joke to everyone. He was a joke. He sounded like some simple guy. He's happy, he's dancing, he's clapping, he's happy. He should be the most depressed guy. People, they used to enjoy being in his presence. They used to think it's funny, it was hilarious to talk to him. They thought he was crazy. And people started to try to talk to him, make conversations, just to make fun of him, because they wanted to hear what he's going to answer, his replies. And the Talmud would say, only without leitzanus, without mockery, without making jokes. If you want to talk to me, I'm happy to talk to you. Not if you're making jokes. Not if you're making jokes out of my avodah. Not if you're making jokes out of my simplicity. If right when they told him that it was without leitzanus, he would talk to them. Because he wasn't interested in talking about different chachmas. Because to him, to be smart and to start thinking too much, that's leitzanus. That's what's a joke. Right? His way of life was not a joke. It was very serious. Right? It was happy. But all their chachmas and being all smart, to him, that was leitzanus. To him, that's a joke. You think you're so smart. To me, that's a joke. You're missing Ruach, you're missing Emunah, you're missing Hashem. You're the joke. The joke's on you. He was very simple. And when he would see that they're trying to make jokes, he would say, fine, you know what? Let's say you're smarter than me. And he'll see them making jokes at him, like he's like a fool. And this was fun. So he'd say, you know what? Let's say you're smarter than me. Let's fine. You're smarter than me. Good. Say, fine. Say, now what? You're smarter than me and I'm the fool. Very good. You're smart and I'm a fool. Fine. Well, who am I? Right? So be greater than me. Fine. So I'll be a shaitan. These are the types to tell them. So who cares? If you're trying to make fun of him, to tell, basically they're trying to show that we're smarter than you and you're a fool. You're crazy. Do you know what he told them? Fine. And he played along with them. Tell them, I agree. You're smart. He gave it to them. He said, you know what? You're making less sense than me. Fine. You're smarter than me. And I'm more simple. I agree with you. If you want to put it this way, fine. You're the smart ones and I'm the fool. Okay, so put it that way. And Rajo says, anybody wants a word that's very smart, we'll give them an award. Give you a word, you're the smartest guy around. Take your award, have a nice day. It's all you start to so let's say you're smarter than somebody. So now what? Fine. So the top one is twice. So you're smarter than me. Very nice. So you're smarter than me. Then what? But then what? What do you gain from it? If it's not for a service of Hashem, what do you gain? I'm simple. I'm serving Hashem with my simplicity. I'm having wood and I'm happy with my simplicity. Right? What do you do with your chachma? Fine, so you're very nice. You're a chachma. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Chachma on its own is nothing. What's chachma? Just stop to be smart and not to use it to come close to Hashem and tell other people to come close to Hashem. What? It's nothing. So tablum, fine. So very good. So you're smart and I'm a fool. Fine. I agree. Finish. In a very simple way, if they were trying to make fun of him, he's a fool. They're smart. They see, tablum, fine. And he was happy with that. He wasn't sad with it. He was happy. Say, fine, that's the reality. Okay, fine. Maybe you can even say, you're smart, I'm a fool. Okay? So say that. He didn't care. It's all about it was, he didn't care what everybody else thought or everybody else said. He just served Hashem. He wanted to serve Hashem. Other people think this, other people say that, other people make fun of me. He said, oh, fine. You're a chacham, I'm a shem. Fine, finish. Game over. I agree with you. This is how Hashem made you. This is how Hashem made me. Very nice. And he was happy with it. That's the big thing. He was happy with it. He didn't care that other people were smarter than him. Therefore, he has to be like them. He wasn't trying to be like them. He wasn't interested. This is Hashem. Hashem made me like this. I'm able to serve Hashem. That's fine. So I'm very happy. Meanwhile, there's a very big commotion, a tumult. The Chacham is coming back to town. Sophisticate is coming back home. He's coming here with honor. Everybody heard about it, this big chacham now, right? So since the simpleton is his friend, the simpleton also ran to greet him with great joy. And he told his wife, give me my yupa quickly. That's to go meet my friend. She gave him the pelts, and he ran to call his friend. And the chacham was traveling in a nice carriage with honor. And the Tom came to him. He asked him, how are you? He said, my brother, what's happening? mistake, Hashem brought you here. Chacham, if to him everybody in the world was like nothing, because he was so smart, imagine all the more so, the town was like nothing.